College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to that ball.
The B.I.B. bump is so real. It is so real, so scientific. It is just a thing. Absolutely a thing. You want more proof? Well, just listen to Home Run Call of the Day. That was Dylan Beavers going deep for his first home run. Adam Amin with the Home Run Call of the Day. And of course, this comes one day after Dylan had appeared on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. And we don't stop there. Nope. Sure enough, happened again. Same day. Because we can't just have one BIB bump in a day. We need multiple BIB bumps. We do so many podcasts, there must be so many good vibes going around all over the place. Nathaniel Lowe, he also got it. He also got a big old dose of the BIB bump. Yep. Game, go ahead hit in the Yankees-Red Sox game. Red Sox end up winning. Roman Anthony with a big home run to give him some breathing room. But it was Nathaniel Lowe who had a game-tying sacrifice fly. And then a go-ahead, the eventual game-winning hit for the Red Sox. And that is after sitting down to do a Baseballs and Boring podcast. It is just science. All right, well, like we said, we sat down with Nathaniel Lowe, and we also sat down with our good friend David Bednar, who I haven't caught up to in a while, who does own a Baseballs and Boring shirt. We, of course, gave it to him, presented it to him at the All-Star Game a couple of years ago. But what I wanted to talk to those guys about were a lot of things. You're going to hear about a lot of things with both Nathaniel and David. But one of the things is the dynamic when you do switch teams, of how different it is, how chaotic it is, the adjustments you have to make, the impressions that you have to make, all of that. And you're going to get a big old dose of what exactly these guys are going through or have gone through recently. Obviously, Bednar was traded to the Yankees from Pittsburgh at the trade deadline, and Nathaniel Lowe was DFA'd and then picked up by the Red Sox after spending the entire season with the Nationals. So I think it's some great perspective. These two guys are really, really entertaining. I really enjoyed talking with them, and I hope they enjoyed soaking in, basking in the excellence that is the BIB bump. All right, first up is going to be Nathaniel Lowe, and then we'll get to Yankees reliever David Bednar. All right, here's Nathaniel.
There is no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to right now than Nathaniel Lowe. It's a fact. Thank you for joining.
Appreciate it. Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
I meant to catch up with you about a month ago. You were with another team. I'm glad that we waited because there's a lot more going on. Right.
A couple of changes. Yeah.
How's it like? So what is changing? Like this is you've changed teams before, but not in this capacity.
No. Yeah.
What's been like?
I mean, it's just exciting to play like big games, you know, and especially like big games in August that are going to get us ready for big games in September and then so forth from there. So it's cool to be back in the mix. Obviously, like, the group's in a really good spot right now, and we're looking to improve, and I feel like I can do my part to help this team improve.
So I want to talk about big games and that dynamic.
Sure.
But one of the things that I find fascinating, I actually just talked to David Bednar about it. This shows you how old I am. I want to go back to Torrey Hunter when he went from Minnesota to the Angels.
Okay.
And because it stuck with me what he said, which is, I didn't feel like quite like I was part of the team or the organization or the community until I had my big moment. And in that case, it was a grand slam. Fortunately for you, you've had a big, but do you know, can you see that? Like, can you see, like, you come in, all eyes are on you. There's a certain amount of expectations or just wonderment, like, and then you have that moment, you hit a home run.
It's just pretty relieving for it to happen, like, in my second game,
yeah.
You know, instead of, like, getting stuck in the rut of like, oh my gosh, I have to impress the new guys.
That's what I mean, like, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're 4, 5, 6 games in and still looking for something crazy to happen. But I feel like when you just kind of like, if I go out and play my brand of baseball, like and put together good at-bats, play good defense and run the bases, like the game should speak for itself. You know, I don't feel like I have to press.
But that's easier said than done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, nobody can just, well, there are very few guys that can flip the switch and just play better.
Yeah.
So, you know, like it's, but it was a special moment the other day. So it was really exciting to do it in front of the home crowd, hit a big homer late, tie up the game and, you know, kind of give the guys some energy.
What's your heart rate at that moment? 180?
I couldn't tell you. I don't remember a whole ton of running around the bases.
Throw the cougar in the car.
Yeah.
That's my delegate reference. But you went through it, like I said, a different way when you go from to the Nationals. And was there that element too? I know that it's in spring training, but it's like, hey, you know what? I'm here. I got to get to know everybody. I want to make sure that everyone likes me. I want to make sure that everyone knows how good I am. You know, that was your first iteration of this, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I really didn't play as well as I would have liked to. And maybe I pushed too hard to do something like that or, like, was going about it the wrong way. But it was a learning experience for sure. And, like, I was happy with a lot of the guys there. But, you know, there's still more to prove. And I'm excited to prove it in this uniform.
No, but, I mean, that's the thing. You've gone through it. You know.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll come back to it. It's not a small thing, man. Hitting a home run, like in a big home run like this, you can go 0 for 50. You know, you won't go 0 for 50, but you can. People are like, oh, like, remember that? Remember that home run? That's it.
Yeah, but we also didn't win. So that's kind of the most deflating part of that whole thing. So I would have liked to had another good at bat there and win. But, you know, we got a chance to do that today.
So when you, going back to when you were winning, when you were winning a lot, and you went through, like, the games that mattered in August and September and October, what do you remember about that run a couple of years ago?
It just felt like the guys, like, organically molded together, you know? It didn't feel forced, like, you, like, had to do something to be a better teammate. Guys just, like, showed up and did it. So it felt like the group that was assembled, Chappie was acquired before the deadline, and then the deadline acquisitions in 23, the guys just fit in, you know, and like we got a happy clubhouse. At the same time, we almost missed the playoffs by a half game, right? We're only a wild card team by a half a game. But after we lost that last day in Seattle, 1-0, got on the airplane for 7 hours to fly from Seattle to Tampa, it was like something just clicked.
Really? You know?
But it wasn't forced. It wasn't like, all right, guys, it's playoffs, let's try harder. It was just like, all right, we're in this now. We know what's in front of us. We don't get the time off that you would get if you're a higher seed and you miss the wild card round. Like, we just had to go out and play, and we did.
I think that it's such a good lesson because as we sit here, we're just so much trying to define what teams are the World Series teams, right? But that team, to your point, like you thought, okay, we're good, but it's like, oh man, we're going to roll through the World Series.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. And you know, the guys a couple hours south of us in Houston, like they closed the gap and won the West. And you know, like obviously it all came out in the wash in a big championship series, but it you know, we had a chance to win the West by a couple games and we didn't.
Yeah. Let me tell you my favorite Chris Young story from that. So Dayton Moore, he told me this, that when in July, Chris Young got everybody together, all the executives and the team together, said, we think we can win the World Series. Because if we do, we're going to have to trade these guys, like ultimately like Cole Reagans and some of these other guys. But that is a guy who understands, and I think they did that this year too, honestly, like what they did with Merrill Kelly, whatever.
Right.
But I don't know if you as players could feel that.
Yeah, well, we definitely addressed needs that we had, you know, and like a name that might not get brought up as much as it should is Jordan Montgomery. He was great for us and like great off the field too. And when he and Stratton came from St. Louis, they just fit in right away. Like they had the two of each other to sit with on the airplane, but they were a part of the group and obviously
right away,
huge contributors down the stretch.
Right away they fit in. That's another thing, right?
Yeah, that's a thing like when front offices and the brass does their homework and they get good guys who fit into the organization, like, you can throw the rest of your season out because the only thing that matters is winning that day. And it felt like the group, especially in the postseason, did a good job of winning that day.
So it seems like you know, it's only been a few days, but it seems like you're pretty, you know, seamlessly fit in here. Again, hitting a home run helps. But you're a good guy, and everyone knows that, and everyone, it's a good group of guys and everything else. But what can you say, not that you're going to do the Rudy in the stool speech in the middle of the clubhouse, but what can you sort of this is how it feels. This is what we should do. This is what, this is what September is going to look like.
Yeah. Well, even after we lost Tuesday, sitting eating dinner before we got on the airplane, and I was sitting there talking with Bregman about just taking disciplined at bats. Mm-hmm. And I think that when guys are disciplined and committed to their approach and what they're in there to do, then it's pretty freeing. Because either you can only do what you can do. Like, there's no reason for one guy to step up and be superhuman hero. Like, when the whole group gets together and works on the same page, that's when you find winners. So, as a group, we can get more disciplined. Personally, I can get more disciplined and just go out there and execute.
But that leads me to another thing that I think is so important, is to have guys like you, to have guys like Bregman, to have those conversations. And I'm not going to be like old man yelling at clouds saying hey, the GMs aren't prioritizing this stuff enough. But this is when voices like that are important, I think. To know what it's like to get through 162, to know what it's like to get through, when the rubber meets the road time, right?
Right. Yeah, oh yeah. And the coaching staff's into it, and they care, and they're doing their homework, and showing up and helping guys address personal needs and team needs. It takes everybody top to bottom. So it's cool to see that this group really feels like, my whole 2 days here, that they're bought into doing something special.
So when the other part of being traded is a family thing.
Yeah.
Right? And Lucas, I was talking to Lucas Ursic, who was dealt last year. Mm-hmm. And Lucas was my wife just carried the load, man. I had to get from here to here, and she took care of everything.
Yeah.
What's that been like? Because this is we like to think that we're more than baseball. We're just human beings.
Yeah.
What's that been like?
Well, we're a party of two and a half right now. My wife's 9 months pregnant.
Okay.
So he's supposed to show up next week.
Oh.
Yeah. So we get the whole a whole move is just so interesting. But she went home at the All-Star break.
Where's home?
Texas.
Okay.
Home is Texas, yeah. She went home at the All-Star break and took a couple bags with her, took the dogs with her, and she's there getting ready to have the baby. So luckily, one of my best friends was in town to watch that whole series that weekend. And I went to the field, turned the corner, and GM's in the office. I'm like, well, I'm getting taken off the roster. So I called him, and thankfully he was there to help me pack up my rental house. And that was Thursday afternoon that I got cut. Most of it was packed Thursday night, put the finishing touches on everything Friday morning, and I'm at home in Texas with her waiting to see what happens the next day.
Oh.
Yeah, so Thursday DFA'd, Friday at home, Sunday afternoon flying out to Boston. Tuesday I'm in the starting lineup, and I get to hit a homer at the end of the game. So.
It did not induce the baby.
No.
Was she watching?
No, oh, yeah. She's
oh, really?
Going nuts. She's
oh,
going,
yeah.
She loves Fenway. She might like Fenway more than I do.
Oh, really?
I love Fenway.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Where's she from?
She's from Arlington. She's from Texas.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but when she when she travels, she came to Boston maybe not last year, the year before. I got her some seats up by the front so she could sit there right next to the field and
oh,
see
really?
The whole thing, and she was having a ball. She loved
so
it.
So she was pretty psyched.
Oh my gosh,
She told
me she watched the replay so many times.
Oh, really?
Seeing all the people going crazy.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'll tell you a little story that people maybe nobody cares about but me.
Give it to me.
My 92-year-old dad was at the game that night. I went down, and he gets around okay. But I went down and said, okay, you know what? We're going to – bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth. Had no outs. But you guys, nothing happens. Dad, we're going to take off. We got to beat traffic. Right?
Oh, no.
So it takes a little while to get around. So we're literally coming around the corner. Around – you don't really probably know the streets yet, but Boylston Street, which is, right there. And we got the radio on. And I just felt like the biggest asshole.
I was like, I deprived my dad from like this moment, and it was just that he's like, you know, him and my uncle, like,
you know. Well, yeah. You don't want to startle old people, you know.
Like, no, I think,
92, that's a lot of experience.
Well, I can just tell you, like, the joy that you brought him with this, listening to on the radio.
Thank you.
That was pretty cool. And it actually, I felt okay when an hour later and we still hadn't gotten home and the game wasn't over, so it would have been a late night.
Okay.
But my point is it was a great, like, that's the thing, is that I'm so happy your wife got a chance to see it.
Yeah.
And see the reaction. Like, we have that Bryce Harper home run from a couple of years ago in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the iconic photos.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so special, you know, but obviously, we'd like to have a couple more better at bats and come out on top of that one. But like, it was good for the group to see, like, you know, I want to win. We want to win.
Yeah.
Like, we mean business.
And so to go back, so I apologize. I'm taking you away from the phone right now.
That's all right.
But are you, what, like, how does this work now? Are you going to induce or do you?
Yeah. Well, we had set it up around the schedule from the DC schedule, which was an off day.
Okay.
So her full term would be next Thursday, which is a day game in Baltimore. So we're still trying to work out the final details of what's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, it could happen any day. And yeah, we're ready.
It's a lot, man.
It's a lot. And then you go to the balance of, like, I want to be there for seeing my first child born.
Yeah.
And then how much do I want to take away from a team that just picked me up, that needs me to contribute to win, that's in the playoff race, you know? So we'll get it figured out, talk to my agent, talk with the guys here and see what's best. But, you know, it's a good time.
It's a memorable, if nothing else, it's a memorable time.
Yeah, yeah. My first child being born and you know, getting to, like, push for the playoffs in Boston. Well,
that's the thing, is that, like, it's been probably a tough year for you in a lot of ways, right?
I haven't played as well as I wanted to, and you know, but we're going to put that in the rear view.
No, but that's what I mean. I mean, yeah. Like, this is the lesson of baseball season.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, we can be so down, or we can be like, it's not working out, or I'm going to be here, it's not a winning team, or whatever it is. Next thing you know, you're being a father for the first time on a team in a playoff race.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, my parents were so concerned, too. Like, when I got designated, they're like, oh, my gosh, are you okay? Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, are you going to play again? Like, how are you going to, you know, what kind of income? Like, are you okay? I think my dad asked me, like, are you okay not playing another pitch again? I was like, dude, don't worry. Like,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, I
oh,
would. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I honestly would be like, Dad.
Well,
oh, dude, like, did you look at my numbers? I have a pretty good track record.
Yeah, but you know, there's always more. There's always more to push for.
Yeah, yeah, but that's, they're parents and they're looking out for you.
Of course.
I mean, because they probably, like, he had never had, or your parents had never had to been through, like, I don't know what the biggest adversity you had faced before.
Well, looking at my slash line in DC, that put a damper on their mood.
Yeah, but no, I mean, but like, in terms of, like, your baseball playing career, you're good in high school, you know, you're good in the pros, you know, you get called up, you know, but that's another lesson, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah, yeah. Well, it's been a lot of lessons. Honestly, it's been a lot because, you know, I've never had to, like, work through the numbers being where they are. You know, it's just something new to me. Thankfully, I've had pretty decent seasons up until this point. So now it's just, I guess, a good reminder that the individual stats, like, they matter, but they don't really matter when the team's, like, pushing for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point, you know. Like, get to the playoffs, and then anything can happen. Figure out how to win that night, and that's it.
And another thing that you probably saw firsthand is that the story can flip so quick.
Right away.
And it's not a, well, we need this exact same amount of time. In other words, you can have 4 months of a bad story, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll use free agency as an example. I can tell you so many guys who have made so much money off of 2.5 weeks and of being good in October.
Crazy.
Jordan Montgomery, like, he defined himself.
Yeah.
By doing that.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
He made a lot of money.
But yeah, and whether it's money or just like getting, you know, like this, hey, like if I look back at 2025, like what I'm going to remember is having 1,000 OPS in my 2 months in Boston and then having a great postseason run.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's kind of the goal of all of it, right?
Yeah. And what's your, did you ever name, you know, after
Barrett? Yeah, his name's Barrett.
Barrett?
Barrett.
Oh, great name.
Yeah, thank you.
And middle name?
His middle name is Ray. That's my mom's name.
Oh, yeah, what, so a Barrett, great name. Yeah, what a great name. And I'm going to ask the obligatory first name question, but not the, I saw the play testing guys, and they're all great guys, and they ask about it. But I'm curious, like, when you sign your name, so when you have signed your name to, like, an autograph,
yeah,
right? Did you always sign it, Nathaniel?
It's just an N scribble, L scribble.
Oh, no one could tell. I was trying to like find like the, like this was, I was solving, you know, a big
there's
mystery.
There's a little L at the end of the scribble, so Nathaniel could come out if you look hard enough, but the N and the L are, they, like when I'm pumping them out, right? Sign a bunch of them, it's N scribble, L scribble.
Are you like me? You couldn't write cursive? Like?
Oh, I could write cursive.
Oh, you could?
It just took me forever.
Oh, you got a Z and a Q and a, yeah.
Yeah, the Z's are tough. Yeah. I haven't written in cursive in a while.
Yeah, no, neither have I. But hey, listen, congratulations. It was really good talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome to sit down with Nathaniel. A lot to pick through there. A lot to pick through. Good stuff. And a very exciting time for him, man. Oh, good stuff. We got to get some baseballs and boring baby gear to the Lowe family. Stat. All right. Well, like we said, next up, David Bednar. But David has always been a favorite of ours. A great personality. Had basically become a staple in the Pittsburgh sports scene, not only with the Pirates, but obviously is a big fan of the Steelers. Now he's with the Yankees and enjoying what it's like to go through a pennant race and be on a team that actually is playing for something in late August and September. He deserves it, man. He's good, and he's got a great personality. All right, at BB isn't boring, at BB isn't boring. Hope everyone's well. Hope everyone's having a great week.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep on marching on. Keep doing our thing. Here you go. Here's David Bednar. Right, there's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to right now than David Bednar. So,
I am Rich Hill.
Well, okay. So we were just talking about this. I don't know if you saw this clip about him talking about the old-time baseball or the old-timers baseball game.
No, I didn't get to see it.
So he said, we said, there's no more old-timers baseball games because Mariano ripped his Achilles, right? And Rich said, no, that's what you want to do. You feel alive. So you, as someone who played with him, can understand
the
mentality.
Without a doubt.
The mentality. But also, I was like, you are actually next to Paul Blackburn, two guys who are both published authors. In A Damn Near Perfect Game, the book, yeah. So I don't know if you ever got, I don't know if you read it, but you're in it. So, but anyway, congratulations on everything. And so just take me through, if you can, like, this is obviously a new experience. And now that you've sort of a couple weeks in, what it's been, I know this is a big, broad question, but what it's been like? Has it been what you expected, I guess?
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. You know, I think, just being here and being part of this clubhouse, and I think the first time I put on the pinstripes was like when it was like really, when it really hit me, and just everybody here has been great and so welcoming, and just getting my feet under me here, and it's been an awesome experience so far, and I'm fortunate to be a part of this.
So when it happens, like, we talk about being traded with a lot of guys, and it's a team wants you, but you're leaving your guys behind. In your case, you're leaving your city behind. How hard was that part of it?
Yeah, it's certainly bittersweet. Just, Pittsburgh being home and everything like that. And, really good friends over there and everything like that. But, it's part of the game. And, equally, if not more, excited to, you know, have this opportunity here to play, you know, winning baseball and have a chance to win the whole thing. You know, I think that's the just the shift in what the goals are is really cool to be a part of, and just kind of how bought in everybody in this room.
Could you feel like, you know, that is a reality, but could you feel that shift? Like, is that like a thing where it's a tangible thing where you can feel it? Obviously, like, Pittsburgh is developing. You get here, it's like, no, dude, like, we're winning.
Yeah, no, you definitely sense it's go time, and it's a really cool thing to be a part of, especially this time of year.
So, to get wonky, what is the thing for you, if you had to pinpoint one thing that, and you probably said this before, but one thing that you feel like sort of sent you down the road to dominance this year, that you felt like, whether it's something somebody said, a workout, a pitch change, whatever it was, if there was one thing that you can sort of pinpoint?
I think it's just a combination of a lot of things. It's just, but I think at the end of the day is, I always thought that, you know, strength of mind was just kind of being very convicted in everything I do and when I'm on the mound. And but I think after struggling a little bit, you realize there's some different gears to it. And I was able to kind of turn it up a notch a little bit and, you know, get back to who I know I am on the mound.
Did you think that, I know you probably were asked this, do you think you were going to be traded?
I had a decent idea. There's a lot of noise, especially this year, around it. So,
are you a friend and family noise guy, or are you a first person noise guy?
Friend and family. Okay. I try and stay off the socials as much as I can, but
hence why not seeing the Rich Hill clip. Yeah.
It's just part of the game. And, you know, I think there's definitely a lot more noise this year than in the past. So it kind of just, but at the same time, just trying to be where my feet are, and, you know, you can't, so many things are out of your control.
I know. When who calls you, Ben?
Yeah, it was Ben and then Cashman. Okay. They called him. I honestly couldn't.
Where were you? Movie?
No, we were in Colorado. We had an off day. And actually, broke on social media before I could.
Oh, no.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
We had an off day, though, in Denver. So.
Where were you? Can I ask? Like, where were you just, like, hanging out?
Room, yeah.
Just
hanging out. Just kind of waiting for the deadline, I guess.
So, man, then chaos hits. The last thing is, you know, there's these moments where when you go to a new team where you succeed, and like that's sort of like, okay, I'm part of this, right? Did you have that moment? Have you felt that moment? A lot of times it's hitting, going way back, I remember Torrey Hunter telling me he had a grand slam with the Angels, and it's like, okay, I feel like a part of it. For you, do you remember feeling that way?
Honestly, I think what that comes to mind is just the first time coming back here and, you know, seeing the pinstripes in the locker. And I think, you know, each outing you're just trying to, you know, you know, show these guys what you have and, you know, earn their trust at one outing at a time. Mm. And I think that's kind of the way that I approach it.
Mm. Well, you've earned our trust. Thank you, man. I appreciate everything.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.